Yes, it is. Good morning. It's Monday. You know, I find if I say that with a little smile in my voice, kind of takes a sting out of thing. It's Monday. You know, that sound good? 33 right now and partly cloudy. And I've been looking forward to this. It is Easter week. And who better to have in Father Greg Hammond from St. John's here in Wapton. Father Greg, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to this, too.
I was trying to think the last time you and I talked, it was the Winter Festival.
Exactly.
And I think I coined
you. Back in January.
Yes, I coined you the bingo czar.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be honest. I never actually ended up playing bingo.
Yeah. See, you told me that, too, with our follow-up. It is Easter week, and a big question. What is the significance of Easter week? I mean, you can't answer that in five words or less, I know. But
yeah, no, we can get started and see how many words that lasts.
All right.
But actually, the word that we use to describe this period of time is called Holy Week. Like, Easter week is, at least in the Catholic Church, is what we would maybe call the week after.
The week
Easter.
After, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, once everything, as Jesus says on the cross, once everything has been accomplished. But here during this period between Palm Sunday, which we celebrated yesterday, going through especially Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the quiet of Holy Saturday, and then the celebration of Easter Sunday, that is what we look at as Holy Week.
Okay. Now I stand corrected already. See, you're educating me here.
Well, great. That's the hope of today, just that we can all pick up something new to hold on to this week and help lead us through it.
What is your favorite thing about Holy Week? What resonates with you?
Sometimes I feel like whatever the next thing is my favorite thing. Just yesterday we had Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday is beautiful. It brings back just personally childhood memories of gathering with my family in the entryway of our church back in New Rockford, North Dakota. And of course, as a kid, not really knowing all too much of what we were doing when we were picking up palm branches from the table and waving them around. So there's a personal sort of appreciation that I have because it's connects back to my own childhood. But that way that the liturgy and the focus of each day really helps us walk with Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. at least in our own prayer, in our memory of him, to walk with Jesus Christ and place ourselves in the story. I think that is what makes Holy Week so vivid for us when we are able to attend church services and whatever day it happens to be of the week, but when we're able to attend those church services and they walk us through the experiences of Jesus and his disciples and the crowd, and like yesterday during the gospel reading at Mass, it's famously a kind of a dialogue gospel that happens 2 days of the year, Palm Sunday and Good Friday. Never otherwise in the
really?
Does it happen.
Okay.
No, it's always proclaimed by a priest or a deacon at Mass, the gospel is. But on these 2 days, and this goes back centuries, centuries, centuries. It's not a recent adaptation to the way the gospel is proclaimed. But it's divided up into dialogue parts where the priest or the deacon takes the words of Jesus whenever Jesus speaks in the gospel, and then there's a narrator, and then there's the crowd. And when they call for Jesus' crucifixion, everybody, and I kind of like say this too, even though it's not as the priest, like my part of the Mass, but I say it too, you know, crucify him, or yesterday it was from the Gospel of Matthew, and mm-hmm. it was a little different there. It was, let him be crucified, and other things too that the crowd is given. But to put that on our lips is, it hits on so many different levels. It is uncomfortable, right? If we're followers of Jesus, we don't like the idea of calling for Jesus' crucifixion ourselves, mm-hmm. right? But if we're Christians, we acknowledge that we are, with every other human being, we are sinners, and Christ died for for our sins, Christ died for my sins. Each of us, it's the sin of every human being, and it's the sin of every individual. So we can say Christ died for my sins. And so I wasn't there when Christ was led before Pontius Pilate and experienced his trial, and the crowds there, when those individual people said, crucify him, of course, we weren't there.
Yeah.
But in reality, our sins call for his crucifixion. And so we share that with them. But we don't just say those words in sadness, or we don't say those words in anger. We say those words as Christians with a sense of hope, mm-hmm. knowing that that crucifixion that our own actions have brought about also have brought about our salvation. The crucifixion has brought about our salvation. And so Christ dies maybe at the hands of the people, but he doesn't die as a helpless victim.
Right.
He dies as a lamb that saves us.
And it came through. I was part of the Easter Cantata
exactly.
yesterday.
Beautiful.
It came through in, excuse me, in the narration. You may have crucified the messenger, but you didn't destroy
yes,
the message.
Yes, I got that part.
That's what moves on here. Father Greg, how important is it for people, in your opinion, to be part of the church community during Holy Week?
There, I tell a congregation this on Palm Sunday weekend every year that you know they have work to do, they have jobs, and getting to the services over the course of Holy Week. And really, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Right.
But getting to the services is not necessarily easy. Their work schedules or whatever might not line up well. But as much as they can set aside the time to be able to get there, it makes all the difference. And I have the privilege that it's part of the work that I do, that I am at all of those liturgies myself. And so I never have to question if I'm going to be able to get to one or another. But I would just have a hard time feeling like it's Easter come Sunday. I would have a hard time feeling like it's Easter if I had not been a part of Thursday and Friday and Saturday, because they really do just make you or put upon one's mind those moments. So Holy Thursday, when Christ celebrates the Last Supper with his apostles, Holy Thursday is the next thing coming up. So I just got to say, I really love Holy Thursday Mass.
I could tell.
Yeah,
I could tell. It comes through.
It is both joyful and solemn. There's a lightness and a heaviness to it. As, again, it's commemorating the Last Supper, initially speaking, at which Christ bends down and washes the feet of his disciples. And, you know, that includes Judas's feet. Peter, he tries to prevent Jesus from washing his feet. It's uncomfortable, right? And it is uncomfortable for everybody. Nobody, mm-hmm. when I have to find people to wash the feet of for Holy Thursday, you know, some people are honored and happy to do it, and some need a little bit of coaxing.
A little tentative,
Because it's uncomfortable.
Sure.
To have somebody, even in that symbolic way at Mass, to have somebody bend down and wash my feet. And that was what Peter felt. Lord, you will not wash my feet. But as Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. And so we have to let Jesus bend down and serve us, serve my heart and save me. And unless we do that, unless we let Jesus save us, we have no part with him.
Man, talk about humility.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And then it the humility of Jesus, and it like the humility overflows into our heart as we do it. I've found it when I was a college student and I was invited to be a person who had his feet washed. It was just, I was really surprised at the time. I didn't really know what to expect, but it was so, so profoundly humbling.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Mass continues on with the commemoration of Christ instituting the Holy Eucharist at the Last Supper, taking the bread and the wine, commissioning his apostles to continue that, to do this in remembrance of me. But even though there's that celebratory quality of the beginning of the Eucharist and that sacrament for the church, there's also already a heaviness At the beginning of the Mass, we ring all the bells in the church during while we're singing the Gloria. The big steeple bells are ringing in the neighborhood. All the little bells that the altar servers have, those are ringing, and that's the last time that you hear them then until Easter Sunday, or the vigil Mass at Holy Saturday, because from then on there's a quieter quality to the Mass. And even the little bells that, if you're not Catholic, maybe you don't really know what I'm talking about here. But if you're Catholic, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Altar boy ringing the bells, these beautiful tinkling bells, when the priest lifts up the host, the consecrated bread at Mass, and the chalice. And but on Holy Thursday, it's not the bells. We this one day out of the year, we pull out a clacker. It's like a wooden clacker, and so it still serves the same function of drawing everybody's attention in at the right time. But it's this like somewhat jarring sound.
I was going to ask, so what is symbolic about that?
Well, there's a couple of levels. It's not like tinkling and beautiful like the bells are, right? So
right.
So we're setting aside that particular type of sound during this somewhat heavier time of the liturgy, but also, I think, well, what it brings to my heart is a little look ahead to Friday, right? Because Friday is when we commemorate Jesus offering himself on the cross and the crucifixion, which includes him being stretched out upon the cross and his body being nailed through. To hold him to the cross. And so that sound, I can't hear that sound of the clacker on Holy Thursday without my thoughts going ahead to Friday,
right,
and the knocking of the hammer pounding in the nails.
That's where it moves to. Man, talk about gravity. Listen, you're going to be back in Wednesday.
Exactly.
We will cover Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. And everything the following week, which I now know is Easter. I knew that. Okay, you're refreshing me here with this.
Perfect.
Father Greg Hammond, can you leave us with a quick prayer?
Yeah, let's pray.
All right.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, may you bless all of your people who cry out to you here during this Holy Week. May you touch their hearts with humility. May you give them a sense of sin so that you may also give them a true gratitude, a hope, and life in your promise of their salvation. May you draw all your people to yourself, and those who are not yet your people, may you open their eyes to see your goodness and your love for them. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Father Greg Hammond, looking forward to our chat.
Thank you
on
so much.
Wednesday, my friend. It's 821, the voice of the valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.